Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. Terry, are you unmuted?
Well, Terry. I thought I was.
There you go. Now you are. Very good. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I hope my co-host, Red Beckman, will be joining us here. Red, are you live yet?
Not yet.
Okay, we tried to call in on from my cell phone. We didn't get what we were looking for, so I'm going to try it again here and see if we have any success. So that our guest, our first guest, can join us.
Yes, we have.
So, Kate, how are you doing today?
Very well. I'm looking forward to the show and the discussion of what's going on with this exciting conference. And we do have another Skype caller who's
okay.
Live.
Another Skype caller live?
Yes.
Sure that's not you?
Yes.
Okay, Skype caller, are you there? Did you hit one?
Okay,
Kate, there's a 303 area code that should be, you should make that 303 live that you've got there.
303 is live.
Good deal. I want to introduce our first guest tonight, Mr. Aaron Goldhart with Tesla Energy Lights, who I made friends with earlier today and got a display or a demonstration.
Correct.
Those are really, really interesting. Yes, Kate.
Excuse me, Terry, you've got a very big echo there.
Well, it's probably because we're sitting so close to each other with a cell phone. That's probably what it is. Is that better?
A little bit better.
All right. When you're talking, Aaron, I'm going to mute myself so that we won't get that echo. Okay, we also have a camera and another microphone here close by, so all of the electronics is probably playing havoc with us, so bear with us for just a minute. So, Aaron, tell us what your experience has been today with the Tesla Tech Extraordinary Technology Conference.
Thank you, Terry. The experience that I've had today is sharing the Tesla Energy Lights with the people that have come here to gather information and knowledge and sharing experience in anything that Tesla has done in his life. Our particular contribution has to deal with using the Tesla coil, which he produced, which is used in many, many different devices over the last 100 years. So we're pleased to have been a developer on the basis of what he created. So that way we can officially be in integrity with saying that it is a Tesla Energy Light, not something else.
Well, Aaron, how about giving us a little history on Aaron?
Okay, well, my history has been about standing up for what people want in freedom for themselves. I know that we're jostled by so many different variables that people are inflicted upon by other people wanting their money or their power or their time. And I feel that it's time for us to stand up and own our own authenticity through looking at what we are accountable for looking at what we can do for ourselves instead of leaving it in the hands of somebody else that really is probably more concerned about their pocketbook than anything else. So in that, we have discovered that the lights fit into my philosophy because it helps people empower themselves. And to me, self-empowerment is freedom. And that's what I stand for. Is when I work with people, I'm basically training them and teaching them how to rely on themselves to self-heal so that way they can become without being a victim and without waiting for someone else to take care of them. If you don't take care of yourself, who is? So that's what I contribute is how to do that through energy, and that energy is helps people self-empower, real simple.
I know, I just had to unmute myself. There was a little delay, and I was on the wrong page. So bear with me. This is a little bit of a different environment than we're used to broadcasting from. A little loud on you, huh? Kate, is Red on with us yet? Well, I guess Red's not on with us yet. So I was really fascinated by your demonstration today and really enjoyed watching the kids and that you were showing how to use the energy lights and watching you create the sparks off of their hands and fingers and fascinated by all of the various applications of that and the way it seems that there's really a multitude of benefits from it. And I'd just like to give you the floor for a little while and let you talk about the Tesla energy lights.
Okay, Terry. Well, thank you very much. The Tesla energy lights have been in development for 17 years, and they have continued to be improved over the years because our inventors saw that the technology back in the 1920s had a potential that had been unrealized. So what they did is they started putting together multiple gases from different tubes together in an arrangement called a carousel. And in that version, it started to produce a higher realm of frequencies to absorb. And those frequencies are the air that we breathe, separated like you do with oils that are essential oils that are real powerful because they're selected alone. Same thing with gases. They select them alone, and then they become more powerful in their essence. So that they're in a ring of 16 tubes and a 17th in the center. And they basically create a plasma which helps the person absorb them in their biofield. Their biofield is composed of their thoughts, which is mental, their feelings, which is emotional, and even their belief system, which we call spiritual. So a lot of times people look at physiology as being the only part that makes a difference, and really it's the least important because it's the last place where we experience issues. In our testing, we see that our bodies are very capable of handling a lot of stress and a lot of issues, and at some point give out because we overstress ourselves with all the plaguing, as I mentioned earlier, of people leaning on us and governments creating problems for us with taxes and just all the different issues that we have to live with just because we're in this Western Hemisphere of basically a free-for-all. So the lights, what they're doing is they're separating the men from the boys. Because when you can stand up on your own 2 feet and say, I count for myself and I don't need your food stamps or assistance, then you feel really good about yourself. And self-confidence comes back and I'm self-reliant. I don't need an insurance policy to tell me that I'm okay. I already know I'm okay. And that's what the energy does, is it creates an environment for a person to live in their own structure, and it's not arrogant, it's just simply unadulterated self-love, it's self-confidence. That being said, when I use the lights, there's a sit-down version and a lay-down version. And the lay-down version was introduced to us by our friendly government, of all things, through a classified program working with bringing back the soldiers from Iraq. And when that occurred, they discovered that the soldiers were getting back into their bodies, becoming self-serving, and getting off of the payroll of the government when they came back. So it self-served the government, but it also self-served the individual who were leaving the armed forces. So that being said, they were laying down. And when they laid down, they went into what's called an alpha state. Now, that alpha state is what we all do every day when we go to sleep, if we pray, if we meditate, if we send love to somebody. It really helps us become more allegiant to that power within. And that power within is through our hearts. So it's not just a mind game. It's a feeling game. It's a soul game. And we all know we have that in different ways, regardless of our position and belief system. But the bottom line is that what we can do with that empowerment, as I said earlier, is become self-servient. And with the government sharing that with us, we shared that with numerous doctors, numerous clients that have wellness on their agenda. In fact, we even have a coalition working with the Africans at this point to help them with their children with AIDS, because they just die if they get some kind of a mosquito bite and get yellow fever, and they'll die. So, or typhoid or something like that. So a group called Just Us Friends approached us, and we felt somewhat compassionate to their need, mainly because these are innocent children that also deserve to exist and grow up and become servants of the world and not just die because we didn't pay attention to them. So JustUsFriends.us is a group that we have created videos for online with Skype to help them raise funds. Why do we do that? Well, we do it because we can. We are empowered. We want to help people. And that's just another extension of what the lights are about. So they're going to end up in Africa. They're going to help those kids survive, because our roots, as you well know, came from Africa way, 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 way back. And so don't we owe it to them to give them a piece of life instead of a piece of death? So if you go to the website, you'll see that information. Our website is TeslaEnergyLights.com. And what we're about is, again, you won't see medical things up on our website. You're going to see more of the physics aspect with Dr. Claude Swanson. Now, Dr. Claude Swanson is a notable quantum physicist who has recognized our equipment. And when you see people like that acknowledging what we're putting out there, you know that it's real, because people like that are not going to put their reputation out on the line in order to for jollies. I mean, they're sincere in what they're doing and their life commitment. What makes the lights work from a scientific standpoint is what's called torsion field. Now, torsion field is another name for other names that in different languages that have come about in the study of subtle energy. Now, torsion field is a Russian term, and they discovered that when you have a spin of electrons, that spin of electrons, when it reverses, creates a field that basically denies time and space, meaning that when it's used, a person can go into a space that brings in more manifestation quicker rather than the linear time of waiting. So there are some definitive benefits in what we create and what we manifest by the energy that we do it with. So the lights support that. So when we lay down with the lights, I usually suggest to people to allow themselves to feed themselves with that energy so they can create their heart's desire. And it can be anything. It can be their relationships. It can be their health. It can be their wealth. It can be resolution. It can be anything. Why is that? Because we all live with subtle energy as our basis for why we are alive. All animals have the same aspect. Plant life does. It's measurable with Curlian photography. So we're not just saying, oh, woo-woo, there it is. You can't see it, but it's there. No, it's measurable. It's seen. People experience it. People feel it. So consequently, if we have more of that subtle energy, which is like having more air or more water to live by, you have more life force. And that life force means making better decisions, having more confidence, having a better quality of life. And you don't have to get sick to prove it. That's what we like. We're not looking for victims. We're looking for wealthy, healthy people that feel it and know it and can live it. And that's what we're supporting. So that's a little bit of a lot of different stuff thrown in one ball.
Well, Aaron, I've got Dr. Kate, who is our host on this radio station. She's on with us, and she is a scientist herself. She's actually a hydrogeologist, but obviously her knowledge goes far beyond just the geological aspects of it. And she's been making some comments to me in a backroom chat, and I know that she has some questions for you. I've got a couple myself before, and we've also got some callers, at least one caller that's waiting to ask some questions, so I don't want to keep them holding too long. But caller, I just want you to know, hang in there with us. We'll get to you in just a moment, so don't go away.
Okay.
One of the questions is you know, you're talking about light, so people are going to confuse it with normal light therapy. And this is obviously very different than just normal light therapy, because it's actually passing a form of current through the body and basically changing some of the alignments, possibly even in the blood, I would expect, by doing that. And you mentioned earlier something about that it provides a balance in your system so that your body can function more normally and more effectively, more efficiently, particularly with regard. And you also showed me some pictures earlier today of cells where there were, it changed the whole look of the cells and the shape of the cells and some of the light points that you could see within the cells. And so I've hit you with a lot of questions there, but I think first you might want to differentiate how this is different than normal light therapy.
Sure, Jerry. Well, the way the lights work is with frequency. It's the frequencies you don't see. It's kind of like your cell phone. Cell phones work. We know they work. But I also know that we can't see the frequencies. And it's the same thing here. The lights in itself are not meant to create a light like a light bulb would, because there's no filament in it. They're gas tubes. So when they light up, they're lighting up with the ambience based on their chemistry, in other words, what they're filled in with. So you would have oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen and neon and helium and xenon and krypton and all the different gases that are noble gases that we already breathe, but like I said earlier, separated out in their strength. So those gases have different colors, and that's not therapy. What that simply is a response to the fact that they have been pressurized under heat, and when placed in an electrical magnetic field, as this is in a multi-wave oscillator, they are going to light up. So it's a reference point to look at. But in fact, if they didn't light up, and there are some tube technologies out there that have used tubes that don't do anything. They just are clear, and they don't look like anything, but they still work. So that factor eliminates the possibility of, well, it's the light that I'm seeing is doing the work. No, it's actually the ionization that's coming through as a plasma when it mixes together with the other ions of the other tubes, and it goes into our biofield, and that biofield is outside of our bodies several feet, and that would be where we do our mental and emotional processing. It's not inside of our physical body. Now, the other aspect of the cells, the way they operate is cellular voltage. Negative millivolts is the measurement criteria. A healthy cell is considered at negative 30 millivolts. If you have, let's say you bump your hand on something and hurt it and you get some pain, you're immediately going to feel that pain because there's not enough voltage in order to sustain self-healing until you get to negative 50 millivolts. So that being the case, either time takes over and it's linear and you wait till the pain is over, till it finally... that the voltage gets in there and starts to self-heal, or you can do it quicker when you have a way of adding voltage to those cells. So what the lights do is they permeate the biofield, and as a result, they start to work on that system. They integrate over a period of 24 hours, and in that time, generally you'll hear people respond within a few minutes to a half an hour saying, oh, I feel a shift in whatever that might be. It could be a migraine or whatever. And the point is that we didn't cure anything. What we did is we simply fed enough electrons into their biofield that it converted into voltage into the cells, and those cells then reciprocated by self-healing, in which case then the problem resolves itself. So we want to make sure that the nomenclature is correct, because if you were to say, oh, it healed me of such and such, then we would be in violation of certain claims that we don't want to make. So it is statistically correct to say that it doesn't heal or cure anything, even though it may appear to. And now those cells, once they have been seen under dark field, you'll start seeing them do some unique things. They'll start to separate, and they'll even separate to the point where, with excessive use with the lights, I have found in these shows that I do for 3 and 4 days all day long, that these cells start to hold an amount of energy that starts to show an imprint of energy in the nucleus of the cell, which is really amazing. I've shown this to the physicists and the MDs, and they have not given me a real clear answer because they've never seen what this is. So it's a phenomenon that we're still investigating, but it's a good one because it's all spelling out wellness. And the reason why I know that is because they're my cells, and I'm the one that's doing this, and I am not getting sick. And that's exactly what Tesla did. He never got sick, per se. And why is that? Because he was around these type of devices all the time. So suffice to say, there isn't just an accident there or a coincidence. It's because when something works, it works. And that's what we have. We have something that has been working in many different areas, so many that it would take too long in this discussion to go over. But it's emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical.
Kate, did you want to ask a question now, or did you want me to let the caller come through?
Go ahead with the new caller.
I'll bring you in in just a second, Kate. Stay with
us.
We got a caller online. You have a question for Aaron? Caller? Well, I heard you for a second. You're not hearing anything, are you? Yeah. Caller with your hand up, Skype caller. Do you have a question? Well, Kate, I don't know that they're still there. So why don't you jump in with your questions?
Well, the Skype caller is still there, but this is fascinating, and this is Dr. Kate, co-host of Revolution Radio, and I had worked extensively with Dr. Emoto regarding just essential vibration, and I believe some of the things that we're talking about are just so basic. In other words, every organ has a vibratory signature. We are really bundles of light, if you will. And there is a natural vibration to each one of those organs. And am I right in that the technology that you're applying is you're applying electrons, which is energy, which is vibratory, which is, quote, light, because it moves as, you know, a particle and a wave, that you're really working to bring the alignment back, say, pancreas, liver, headache area, something like that. Is that a correct view, or is that sort of kind of twisted or not correct?
Actually, that's very perceptive of you, and it's exactly what's going on. Because what happens, as you well know, a single cell that has whatever level that it's on is going to eventually turn into what? An organ, because it's going to replace an organ every few months or a few weeks, depending upon whether it's the skin or the liver or the whatever it is. So consequently, when you raise the vibratory rate of a cell that now contributes to that organ, piece by piece, layer by layer, over a short period of time, literally it's months, what you're going to have is a transformed organ. Well, as that transforms into a systemic response, the person himself or herself is going to start to de-age. And the reason why is because when you have a higher vibratory energetic rate, it's acting younger than older. So consequently, you see wrinkles starting to disappear, skin starting to return to a brightness and a pinkness, reserve energy that a person has when they're called upon, let's say even at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, where, you know, usually a person might who is, you know, deprived might feel like, no, I need my sleep, I'm not going to get up, or I'm just, not that they're lazy, it's because they just don't have the energy. So consequently, when that turns around, now all of a sudden, a person's confidence is up, they say yes, they're ready to go do stuff, they're ready to have life, just like children. What children don't get up and have all a bundle of energy, and you look at them and you wonder, where does it come from? Well, it doesn't matter where it comes from for them. What it matters is where does it come from for us? Because we're the ones that are aging, and we're the ones that want to live a quality life. So this is a way of reconstituting that on a predictable basis. Because once you see that this is working, why would you stop? Why wouldn't you want to continue leapfrogging a higher realm? So that way, life becomes a whole new life, and that's what happened to me. I was pretty much depressed about 5 years ago, and it took about 2 months, but when I started waking up in the morning, instead of looking at the walls and wondering, why does this day have to be, I started looking at the world as though, what can I do and how can I move forward? And that's when it all started to happen. After about 3 days of continuous, oh, I'm feeling pretty good, this is not a mistake, and all of a sudden I just went, I'm not going backwards anymore. I don't take medication. I don't have an insurance policy. I don't even know a doctor if I was, you know, needed one. So the bottom line is that because of that, I know for me, and that's why I'm so excited to help other people find that for them, because everyone deserves that, I believe. And, you know, the lights, let's look at it this way. I'm going to admit to you, they're not the only way to accomplish this. There are many electron donors in the world, such as the natural sunlight, the natural ground, if you go camping, running water like in a stream or in a shower, hugs with each other when you love somebody. I mean, those are all wonderful ways of exchanging electrons with each other. A healthy diet instead of dead meat, maybe we consume live foods. You know, things like that to contribute life to life. That's what contributes overall. So when you use the lights in conjunction with another modality, such as the exercise, or such as the nutrition, or such as an acupuncture, or a massage, or an adjustment from a chiropractor, that voltage in the cells helps maintain what that improvement was. So you're actually maximizing that life potential. That's quality of life. So it's all of it. You know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on it and say, well, it's just one aspect of, oh, I want to heal a disease. If you don't ever get sick, then why wouldn't you just enjoy your life as it is? And that's what we're about.
Kate, did you have another question or a comment?
No, I just want you to go on. This is terrific. Thank you so much. I appreciate you suggesting I wasn't that far off in terms of the goal, because I think it's important, at least, you know, for myself, scientist type, to have that language, and yet you never want to really forget the ultimate goal, that love itself is vibration and energy. And you'd sure rather have that vibration in your face than what we have with the vibration of a tyrannical government in our face right now. It's really an assault. You can see it an assault in a lot of ways, but on a vibrational area as well. So I applaud what this work that you're doing is. So, Terry, I will stop there and let this great conversation continue.
Well, you know, Kate, I have to tell you, it's really, really exciting being here because, you know, seeing what Aaron was doing with the Tesla energy lights, but also hearing just the beginning of this conference today. I think about the prophetic scripture even, and how it's predicted that if we come together eventually, there's really nothing that's outside of our scope as humans, as the way that our Creator put us here. And he even predicts that we will accomplish these kind of things. And the session that I went to this afternoon, some of the disclosures that came about in chemical and use of heat and use of energy and the way that you can generate and make multiple use of the same energy source, and the way that you can actually transform basic elements. And then looking at the differences in these cells after being exposed to the energy lights, and seeing the reaction from the kids and stuff, it's just really got me pumped. And this was just a taste of what's coming for the next couple of days. So I'm glad that I met Aaron today. That I'm just really excited about what's to come over the next 2.5 days. And all of the new technologies that I'm going to be exposed to. But Aaron's situation here, I believe, is very fascinating for another reason, and I'm going to do some more research on it. But within these cells, you can actually see let me back up a second. The number 7 is referred to as perfection or completion. And if you want to experience that, you can take 7 pennies and put 1 penny down and put the other 6 pennies around that 1 penny, and you'll find that it's a perfect fit. There's a completion to that circle, to that cycle. And you see that image in these cells, in these blown-up photos of these cells. You actually see that image of 7 just like you were to line up those pennies in that cell. So to me, there's a real spiritual aspect to this, and I'm looking forward to doing some more research on that, because you know me, I always refer back to the scripture to find out or to test whether something is truth and whether it's something that's good and that it's really God-blessed. And I see what I've heard and seen today as very much a blessing from God. And I think even my acquaintance with Aaron, who is just a super nice guy. And Aaron, I know that you want to respond to Kate, but I just had to make those comments because I think it's an important part, especially with our listeners, because they're very grounded in the Creator and Scripture and truth. And so I'll give you the floor back.
Okay. What I wanted to share with you in regards to the love aspect, and that is so paramount. We have a user that teaches love, divine love, using the heart as their center core. She's been teaching this in classes for a dozen years. So she's really connected to the universe in that regards. And she called us one day to our four co-inventors, and we had this conversation and conference call. And she said, I don't know how to tell you to make this. I can just tell you that I see it. And how you do it is between, your technical expertise. So she said, what I see is a pink tube. And, a pink tube would be so specific and not anything else. That was all the clue she gave us. And, divine providence works, from what I have found, where when you say yes to an opportunity, to a request somebody asked you for, regardless of whether it's I'm good at it or know what I'm doing or want to do it, I did say yes. And what happened was shortly thereafter I had someone calling me that could make that tube. And so we started that project and we put it together, and it evolved into making a full panel of a multi-gas tube, which was new for us. We had never done that before, with the express intention, and I emphasize intention because that's what this is all about, to honor that part in ourselves that is a multi-wave oscillator. That is our heart. Our system is a multi-wave oscillator system, so it's kind of like a communication between the two, in essence, with the emphasis on the energies dedicated to divine love. Well, when we created that system, I put it up on our website in the, you know, the bottom part of our sales area. Didn't emphasize it, didn't get into any detail, just said, there it is. And what was really amazing is that we had orders coming in from the Netherlands, from Australia, from Canada, from Texas, you know, all over the place, not just in one specific area, asking for the Divine Love tubes, even though they had never used them, they had never seen them, they just knew in their hearts this was for them. And I felt that, you know, one isolated situation was one thing, but when it started to multiply, I started looking at it and going, wow, we have something, and I'm not sure what it is, but I don't have to know what it is. All I know is that it's serving people, it's serving their hearts, it's serving their soul. And so when that started to occur, we did groups of people, groups of 30 or 40 people that wanted to have a ceremony. We did it in American Indian rituals. We did it in chiropractors' offices. I mean, we did it in different places that were just in alignment with the fact that people wanted to share in this together. And it basically, at the end of our ceremony, it felt like the stillness in the air. You could hear a pin drop because there was such reverence and respect for what we did and shared with each other with the pink lights that it's something that you never forget. It's something that you just always hold in yourself because you know it's right. So those pink lights are something else, and we've seen people using them for a lot of major connecting within their own belief system, and that belief system can be anything from traditional to Eastern, Western. It doesn't make any difference. So it's not branding trying to say, oh, it has to be about a belief system of a certain type. We're all people that all of us have hearts, and we all have the same ingredients as human beings. That is that we love and we feel, and that's what our promise and commitment was to make this version. So the version that we made, which is called our C version, is called ethereal. And we put in there a divine love tube in the very center, which is its core. And that's mostly what people order just out of their own intuition. It has nothing to do with my telling them, well, this is better or worse or anything. It's just that's what they feel. So that's the kind of positive direction that we all want to have. We all want to know that we know. We don't want to be in doubt. We don't want to be in fear. We don't want to find out we missed the boat because we didn't know. This is a consciousness awareness aspect that raises that to the point where a person is really in touch with their creator, whatever that belief system is. And to me, that is the best I can gift anybody, and there's no price that can pay for it. It's, these systems do cost money, but that isn't why we're doing it. We're doing it because we feel that people deserve this.
Wow. I guess I'm kind of curious. How long have you been doing this with the Tesla Intergalactic?
Personally, 5 years.
Can you kind of describe some of the things that have maybe been your high points during that time period or things that you've witnessed that's just something you can share?
Sure. There are many. One of the first ones, besides myself coming out of depression, was a little boy who had autism, and we were doing an interview of his father on video just to give his permission, and he was acting really spastic. And if you know anything about autistic children, they're non-predictable. They're kind of wild, almost animalistic at times, very uncontrollable, can't take them out to do much of anything. They'll hurt themselves. They have to be strapped in their cars so they won't fall out, that kind of stuff. And this little boy is just 8 years old, and he's sitting there, and we gave him a session, and after his session, you looked at the child and you said, this isn't the same child. And what we first did was said, well, look, we've got our video camera. Let's take a look at it. Let's shoot him. Let's show the difference. And it was at that point where it just so happened that I was working with Dr. Tennant out of Dallas, and we were in Hawaii, and there was another autistic girl who hadn't spoken in several months. And the mother said, she wanted to try her on the lights. She's 15. And she's getting her session, and she's starting to get excited, and she starts voicing and making happy sounds and laughing, and then she gets up like she's excited, and she starts to sing America the Beautiful. And here we are pumping for her to remember the words, and she's remembering them, and we're kind of helping her along, prodding her, you know, every other word. And it felt like Rocky, like you were hoping Rocky would win. And it was the same feeling. It was like we were all there for her, her brother, her mother, and myself as we're filming her. And you see this and you go, wow, that's just incredible. The mother had no idea she would remember the words. Her mother was saying, hey, look how still she's being there in her seat for 30 minutes, which normally you wouldn't think anything of, but for an autistic child, they're going to be all over the place. So that evolved into a doctor in Memphis, Tennessee, who saw that, who owned the lights, and donated them to the Autism Solution Center in Cordova, in Tennessee, which is a nonprofit. It's a national concern, and the director there has taken the lights, and what she's done with them is she has created more evidence of how the lights work in frequencies with neurofeedback. So it's another way of showing the collaboration, that not only is their behavior shifting, but we can actually show it in an EEG. So the first EEG that she does before she does a light session, she shows the graph, which is very separated. And then after the session, she does another reading with the neurofeedback, and it gets closer together. In fact, it even starts to do what's called a crossover. And that crossover is where the child is starting to finally get it. And it usually takes 8-9 months for that to occur. Well, she's been recovering with children in a lot less time as a result of using the lights. So it speeds up that process so she can work on more children. So this type of a sequence of events has evolved into further studies and further videos, and we have those. And we generally will send them to people that ask for them on request. We don't put that particular video on our website, although we have many of them. We don't put it there mainly because we're not really trying to make it a medical issue. We're looking at it as simply a result of raising the voltage in the cells and not making any claims of victory. That's just not our course. But we're very glad to see the results because they're consistent, they're persistent, and we know better. So that is, you know, that's a sequence of events that has occurred. It's not the only one that's occurred, but it's probably one of the more notable ones, because when you see a child who has been in essence a desperate place with their parents, who constantly are on the edge trying to make sure they don't hurt themselves, they never can relax or rest. So what we see is not only is the child benefiting, but when the parents get on the lights, they begin to relax. The caretaker now has a breath that they can take, so they're off the precipice. That's a major victory, because up to this point, there hasn't been too many victories in that particular arena. So, you know, that to me is very self-satisfying to see that we had a part in their satisfaction.
He's over here giving me hand signals saying I'm muted. that's a real wow, Aaron. I mean, I can see why, you know, you stayed in this for 5 years and probably stay in it for a long time. That's very energizing to be able to witness that kind of stuff. I've worked with autism. I've had a couple of, I've even had employed some autistic kids that were just phenomenal with the computer. I mean, some of the autism is a spectrum. You can't really, define it in one way because there's so many different elements or different categories. Like Asperger's, for example, which is a high performing type of autism, and you know those kids don't have very good social skills and sometimes are insensitive to other people's feelings and things like that, but they can get focused on a particular topic that interests them, and it's just, you know, unbelievable that they're so much more skilled in those areas than the average person who's really pretty bright. So anything that you can do to give balance, because that's a perfect example of balance for me, because I think autism, if it does anything, it imbalances a person's emotional and psychological systems. And sounds to me like heavy metals. Yeah, absolutely. What are the aspects, in your opinion, because, I mean, here we are in the days of chemtrails, for example, that are probably impacting and increasing the occurrence of autism. Do you want to elaborate on the heavy metal part of it?
Well, for one thing, the statistics of autism right now is 1 in 110 children get autism now. That's unprecedented.
It's an epidemic.
And it costs money to take care of these kids for their life. And guess who gets to pay for it? It's really unfair because we get to pay for it. Because the parents don't have the money. So as that continues to mount up because of the greed of wherever they're getting those heavy metals, and could it possibly be from vaccinations? Could it possibly be from things that are environmental, like you're suggesting with the chemtrails? I think it's all of it. Is it in the food? Is it in the soil? Well, I think it's all contributory. What we drink, so on and so forth. So that being said, the heavy metal issue in many cases is undefined. It's not even realized that it's there. And what we've seen with a cellular increase in voltage is when that cell starts to work, it spits out what shouldn't be there. So the degeneration becomes regenerative. And so a heavy metal has been seen to obstruct many, many different aspects of even normal people, not just children with autism. So that being said, we've seen case after case where people are using the lights, maybe on oral chelation or IV chelation, to get rid of those heavy metals without a lot of success. They spend a lot of money and a lot of time, and they're sadly get to the point where they give up because they don't get a test that shows that they've removed it. And then they start using the lights, and thank God the heavy metals is not a disease. Because of the word disease, I couldn't talk about it. But because heavy metals is a deterrent to our progress, what happens is when you get rid of it, things start to straighten up out of nowhere. And so I don't think children with autism are any exception. They just happen to be an identified subject, mainly because it's so obvious. But how about those of us that have worked in different trades where we might be in metal work or machine work or oil fields or chemistries of different natures that contribute to those heavy metals, and then we suffer the consequences and unknown causes of diseases, but we have them, and spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort not really getting solutions for it, because it's a really simple one. The heavy metals blocking us. It creates nervous disorders. It creates neuropathic blockages. So all of a sudden we see what might look like, okay, Alzheimer's. We've had people with Alzheimer's that hadn't spoken in 5 years that after being on the lights for about 90 days started to talk. Well, not only did that give them pleasure, but look about their spouse. Their spouse, who hadn't been able to communicate with them for a number of years, now can have a conversation with somebody that they've been taking care of. So now the caretaker gets a reward. So regardless of how those things occur, the resolution is that there's more life at the end of the tunnel. And that's what I hope you'll see, that there is light, no pun intended, that is profound and at the end of this tunnel.
What else would you like to... Am I still muted?
I'm not used to having to mute so much, so it's a little different for me. I'm wondering what else you'd like to share with our audience. Doesn't necessarily have to be about energy lights, but if there's you might want to give your information again, contact how they can find out more about it. And
okay. Well, first of all, you can go to youtube.com/Tesla Energy Lights. And if you go to that site, youtube.com/Tesla Energy Lights. The first video you'll see is about our African project and what we're doing with Freda and Just Us Friends. It's something that I want you to take a look at, mainly because it gives you an example of the potential. You may find that there's potential in another area unrelated to this, but of the same type of magnificence and consequence in a very positive way. So I would encourage you to have an open outlook as to what possibilities there would be in the areas that you want to be involved with or already are involved with. And it doesn't have to be anything we mentioned so far. The reason that I say that is because there isn't anything that life doesn't have under its belt. Life force, subtle energy is in all of us, in everything, otherwise it isn't alive. So it means anything can go. There isn't a particular strain that's better than another. There is no right or wrong here. It is simply the grace and the glory that we feel within ourselves that we can contribute to ourselves, to our families, and our community. So that's where I feel like it would start. It starts with, what do you want to create? What is it that you want to intend to do? Because the great intender intended us to be here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, whatever that is. And we also have that same coexisting capacity to intend. So that's what we do every day of our life. That's what we do, everything that we do. We create everything in our lives without exception. So when we acknowledge that, say, look, I created this mess that I'm observing you put me into. Not that I'm a victim, but because it's in my space. That type of understanding means that I'm not going to be trying to get even. I'm not going to have revenge. I'm not going to try to hurt anyone. What I'm doing is taking care of business, which is meaning being responsible. So if there's any message that I have for you, is to assume that even though you don't feel like you should in certain circumstances, because it feels like they did me in. Well, if we don't turn that around and we keep on making everyone a perpetrator and we the victim, then we'll never get out of that cycle. It starts with just getting out of the cycle, staying out of the cycle, and not allowing it. And that's what I have found myself able to do, is that I'm a human. I'm subject to different disappointments that I didn't expect, with relationships or money or, different things that just happened, disasters. But I get up and I'm ready to go back at it because I have enough of me available to do it with. And I'm not trying to get it from somewhere else, like another person to suck off of. I'm that person. And that connection to my heart and my God is that connection. So that's what I would want to, give you as my gift, because that's what I'm about. It's kind of hard to get off of that subject simply because I don't do light talk very well. So I just admit it, and we'll just go from there.
After only getting about 3 hours sleep last night, I'm thinking I'm ready for a session on the Tesla Energy Lights.
Oh, right. We're going to do a session. Terry's going to lay down, and I'm sure he's going to send his audience, you all, some wonderful energies of love, and just keep on going with that, with the great gratitude that you have for this.
I'll be able to give my personal experience tomorrow night on our show tomorrow night. So
please do that. That'll
be awesome.
All right.
Aaron, I really appreciate you spending the time tonight. I know it's been a long day, being at a conference, and I'm going to give you a chance here to close out with whatever final comments you've got. I believe we do have a caller online. If you're on Skype and you called in and you've got a question, please speak up. Well, we're going through the same thing. We got you a live mic there, caller, if you want to ask a question. Okay, Aaron?
Okay, well, I guess we'll just close this out and just suggest that for the best way of getting an experience, it's hard to tell over the phone, it's hard to tell really over the Internet, but that's the best thing we can do, is look at one of our videos that's a demonstration. We have a two-minute video. And what we'll do is we show how the lights are being used. And you can hear the lights, and you can experience them with the video, with the sound. We've had many people call me and say, oh, I could feel the energy through the video. And, I wish that for anybody that listens to them. That's a way of being part of it, even though it's not a live session. So I would trust that you can find the site, TeslaEnergyLights.com. And if you'd like a video sent to you, I would be happy to do that. On the site, there is info@TeslaEnergyLights.com, which I will get, and I will be glad to send you that demo and other videos if you wish me to, so you can get more of a personalized experience.
Well, I'd certainly recommend everybody check it out.
I would certainly recommend everybody check it out, and because I'm certainly impressed by it, and I'm not impressed by too many things, and I've pretty much been kind of a science buff all my life, and this is something I really want to explore, and I think it's a really worthwhile thing that you're doing, and I just want to endorse that, what you're doing, because I believe it really has value, and it's worth people checking out, and I frankly don't do that. I generally don't. I caution people about a lot of things that are out there because I just don't have a lot of good feelings and good faith about some of it. I think they're more promoting themselves than they are a product, and I don't see that with you, and I really appreciate your heart as well as I see the value in the science, and that's a really good thing.
Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate your kind words, and I'll just also mention one more thing, and that's that we have people that have bought the units, and they want me to send them a notice when there is a world or a global or a humanitarian event so they can turn their lights on at the same time. The nature of torsion field means that you can send energy to somebody else. And we've seen this many times. People have an accident, and you'll pray for them, and you'll feel, you know, you send your love and to help them get well. It's the same thing. It's just that it's much more magnified. So when we have multiple people that have the lights and they say, we're turning on our lights at 12 o'clock at such and such a day because it's in relationship to an event, which we've had many of, then all of a sudden people are on the same page, they're contributing back, they're giving back, and that's a sense of gratitude. That gives a person a sense of self-worth because they have the power to do it. Now, if you don't have the lights, you can still do it. You don't need the lights to do it. It just makes it more yummy, but you can do it with your intention. And we all know that. We all do that. So it's just something that when you have a number of people with lights and they want to do that, it just feels good that we have attracted people that are like what you appreciate in what we've been talking about. So it's not just me. It's a group worldwide.
That's awesome. We're going to follow up later on this with you a different day after I've had a chance to experience this and hope that you're not here.
Well, I unmuted. Anyway, I want to follow up with you after I've had a chance to go through a session myself and sometime in the next two nights, maybe you can come back on and I can have you with me when I give that report. So,
okay,
thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome, Terry.
Really enjoyed you as a guest, and this has been good. I know our listeners have benefited greatly from
it. Awesome. So, well, bless you, and thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night, Aaron. I've got another fellow here that I want to try to bring on with us who did the session this afternoon. And he is a specialist in hydrogen and oxygen. And if I can get Vernon to come over and join us, I will introduce him. And
hello there.
Vernon, is it Nolte?
Vernon Roth.
Roth, I knew better than that.
That's okay.
Vernon, you're on live worldwide on the internet here with us on Walls in Our Minds, and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. And I've been trying to get on my chat all night long, so I'll tell the folks in chat that I've been trying to get in there, but I've been having a few connection problems here at the hotel and the conference. I
understand that. Everybody seems to be.
Yeah, well, they actually came and hardwired me in. See the hardwire plugged in?
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to help, but it still hasn't gotten me into my chat room. But let's see. Kate's sending me a signal here. Let me see what she has. Sunstorms today. Ah, yeah, that could explain it.
You know, when we had those big coronal mass discharges back in May, I actually lost the internet on two computers, so that was very frustrating, but I blew it.
Well, that's interesting. I'm not hearing you on my set. Kate, can you send me a signal and say that you're hearing Vernon?
Well, I'm hearing myself, though.
Well, good. I am hearing Vernon. Good.
Okay.
All right.
Then we're good to go.
Good to go. Well, Vernon, that was the most exciting seminar this afternoon, the session that you gave as the opening session, really, even before the conference started today. And I was blown away. I mean, I'm just completely, totally blown away. I knew, you know, I had an idea where you were going with it. I didn't have an idea that you had gone as far with some of this stuff as you have. And one of the things that impressed me was how open you were. Now, I know that this is a paid session this afternoon, so, of course, you know, the people there deserve to hear a good amount about what was going on, but you were sharing in a way that I'm not used to in the scientific community. Everybody's usually so protected about what they said, and I don't expect you to elaborate on all that stuff to this audience either. But one of the things that you did was you demonstrated that this could actually lead to people's financial independence. And I just want to give you the floor, and really, you're welcome to talk about anything you want to, or not talk about anything you don't want to. But if you could give the folks a little bit of an idea of your background, what got you into this maybe, and then tell them a little bit about working with hydrogen, particularly how that's made a big difference in your life.
Okay, I can do that. Well, first of all, let me address what you said about being very open. Everything that I present here, I do so in a manner that I would like to hear, or that I'd like to see a new paradigm adopted by the community. Sorry, my voice is a little disconcerting, so I'm going to move a little bit. So what I do when I present is I try to give as much information as possible and present as much paradigm shifting.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Kate. Terry's having a little bit of connection problems, so I'm going to just step in here for a little bit. This is a very interesting conference that is being that Terry's going to be at. As a hydrologist, working with water is just an amazing thing. You know that water is, we are 90% water when we're born, about 75%, you know, as we get older and so forth. So any vibration regarding water is absorbed by your body, and this should be a very interesting section. And I do believe we have Terry back on the line right now. Terry, are you there?
Yes, and I'm hitting one on my cell again.
Very good. Gotcha.
So you're hearing,
okay.
You're hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Vernon, I believe you've got a live mic again.
Okay.
Well, I was just saying I appreciate this opportunity, and it's very exciting, so thank you very much. So eventually I started studying the fields of of hydrogen generation, and I was led to it for a number of different reasons. But really, it was the hand of the universe kind of leading me to certain things that I needed to know and understand. So I started working with hydrogen, and hydrogen with engines, hydrogen with big engines, small engines, and in some of the most hostile environments in the entire world. And I really got a handle on what is really going on with hydrogen. And then of late, I was led to start studying hydrogen and health and healing. And I could see how hydrogen and oxygen in the stoichiometric ratio to make water actually goes into the cells, penetrates the tissues without any pressure, just goes right in and hydrates the tissues from the inside out. So that was really, really exciting for me. So some of the things that I talked about today, utilizing hydrogen for energy and financial independence, they've been kind of staring me in the face for a while. But and if you dig pretty deep into the ideas behind the technology, everything's proved out. But I really felt like with everything going on in the world, it was very important for the world to have this information and be able to run with it. So that's why I brought it here today. That's why I was very open. I'm very open with everything that I do, all of the technologies that I play with. The only time that I don't talk about technology is when it really involves somebody else that has taken me into their confidence or has done the work, and they've asked that it remain secret, and I have to honor that. So, but if it's mine, I'll talk about it, and it's great. It's fun to talk about, and it's great fun to hear other perspectives too, because everything that I study and every objection that I come across kind of leads me to the next piece of the puzzle. And you know, we all have different pieces of the puzzle. The Tesla guys have a piece of the puzzle, and the alchemy guys have a piece of the puzzle, and we all have different pieces, and we all put them together, we get the picture of the proverbial elephant, and we get we start to see the whole nature of reality itself. So that's really why I present and come here to these conferences. It's a great opportunity. So did you have any specific or questions or things that you wanted to talk about then?
Well, you've designed some of these hydrogen pills.
Yes, I have.
Can you elaborate at all on
some of the applications of that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Hydrogen is a very versatile and dynamic substance, hydrogen and oxygen, ground gas, whatever you want to call it. They're very versatile, and we can use it in a lot of different ways. The most obvious of which is boosting the fuel mileage in your vehicle. And what happens is that because anything that is exposed to enough oxygen and hydrogen can become a fuel, if you put enough oxygen and hydrogen into your intake, your fuel can burn more efficiently. See, your internal combustion engine is only at maximum 33% efficient. And that means that 33% of a gallon of gasoline is going to your wheels. 33% is going to your radiator, and 33% is going out your tailpipe as waste. So if you look at it that way and you realize that every time you spend a dollar, 33 cents are falling on the ground, you start to consider other options. And what happens with the hydrogen and oxygen is that everything that would normally go out the tailpipe as waste can actually burn in the engine before it leaves. And so that's where we get our efficiencies. That's why we can do the things that we do with hydrogen and oxygen in an internal combustion engine. We're not creating a new fuel. We're catalyzing the available fuel, and we're causing it to burn more efficiently. And that's the most obvious use for the hydrogen, and that's where a lot of people are focusing their energy. And you can find places everywhere on the internet that talk about either how to build them, how to put them on your cars, how to put them on your trucks, that type of thing. So I've been working in that field for about 5 years, and it's very rewarding, but it also can be very frustrating. The government regulations now are kind of restrictive in that area. So what I've done is I've started focusing on standalone power systems and that type of application, and start working with oil wells in California, and then generating your own power. And that's very exciting, because you can actually use solar, boost the fuel that you would run in a generator, and increase run times by, in some cases, 90%. And we're not over unity. We are not trying to claim something that is impossible. We're just using available systems and increasing the efficacy of what we have to work with. So that's those some of the aspects. Then, as I was working in that field, I was drawn towards more dynamic and diverse studies, and that is healing. And you know, when Ewell Brown was originally working on this with this umpteen years ago, he found that, first of all, they could send divers down much deeper than normal, and they could come up faster because there were no toxic gases in the body to poison the blood system. And that's because the oxygen and the hydrogen recombine in the cells and become water. So the very substance that gives us oxygen actually keeps us alive as a diver. And so that intrigued me. So I started doing experiments with having people breathe the oxygen. And a lot of other people are trying this too, but I took a different track and found a way to input it directly into the body without having to wash the gas or anything, which is very unique and novel. And it was really amazing, because the health benefits of it and the delivery of proper minerals and elements to the body was increased dramatically. So that was very exciting. And then I was drawn to the technological aspects of it, using the Brown's gas, hydrogen and oxygen mixtures as supplements for oxygen acetylene, or to make gemstones. And that's one of the amazing applications, is to actually be able to make your own gemstones, and as a low cost alternative to furnaces to deal with different types of ores. You can melt anything. Brown's gas will melt and will cause almost anything to become either vaporize or if you're careful you melt it down. And so even the high temperature metals like rhodium and iridium and such, they become just as easily workable as lead or silver, because you have this amazing dynamic gas that indexes itself to whatever you're working with. So the mining applications in this are tremendous, and that's one of the things that I presented today was to teach people a little bit about how to do that, and maybe show people in a certain direction. And you know, it doesn't even really matter if anybody in the entire lecture hall does anything with it. All that matters is that the information was presented and is out there into the etheric waves of the universe. So anyway.
Aaron earlier, he was talking, mentioned the term
etheric, and I've been doing some research on that, so I have an understanding of it. I think some of you guys that work with it as much as you have take it for granted. And boy, if you could give our listeners a little bit of a description.
A rundown?
Yeah.
Okay. Ether was the prominent paradigm in the physics community before Einsteinian physics came along.
And Ether said that everything that we see, all of the energy, all of the matter, everything we see is a condensate, a distillate of ether. And we actually move in a sea of energy, and that's what gives us
light,
electricity, magnetism, gravity, even time, all are born out of the ether by condensing the ether into certain patterns. And so this was the predominant physics theory before Einsteinian physics came along. Einsteinian physics says that we want big, powerful explosions. We want things that go bang. We want things that are very, very obvious. Ether physics is subtle. So I like to use this example. If you were to look at Einsteinian physics and the nuclear bomb, you see a large
I was just getting to the good part.
I know. Don't
get your back up here. No, it's okay.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Hi, this is Dr. Kate. I think I did a mess up here on Terry. I thought he was unmuted, but it looks like they'll be calling back in. If you have any questions for our speaker and guest.
Kate, can you hear me?
Go. There he is. Okay, there you are.
You can hear me, but it's saying all circuits are busy on the phone, but now it's trying to call in. Let's see if we get in.
Okay, I've got you.
Very fascinating. My girlfriend listening.
I lost it in my headset from him, too. All right, still going all busy. I'm going to try again.
Okay, but I can hear you now.
I'll be quiet until I get in. I could give him my headset.
Why don't you do that for now while you call in?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, take mine. You're on live.
All right. Okay, I'm back. Am I good? All right.
Yes, you are.
So,
please go ahead.
Oh, wow, a voice. A
yes.
voice in my head. Wow.
No, this
Hello
is
there.
Dr. Kate. I'm a co-host, so please go ahead. You've got the floor.
Yes, I understand. All right, thank you very much. Excuse me, guys. So I don't know where we cut out, but basically ether physics is subtle, and Einsteinian physics is brute force. And I like to compare them as being both halves of the equation. We need under certain conditions, we need force, but under certain conditions, we need very subtle. And what was interesting was when Einstein had a massive debate, the press put on a debate between Einstein, who was the predominant, we call it Einsteinian physics, but the predominant physics of the time, and the predominant ether physicists of the time. And in this debate, they talked about the different ramifications of the different forms of physics and the nature of reality and such. And the ether physicist was the absolute clear winner. But Einsteinian physics was starting to take hold, and we were like boys with toys, big explosions, big guns, big ideas, and Einsteinian physics started taking over. Then there was an experiment done by two gentlemen by the name of Michelson and Morley, and they proved, quote unquote, the non-existence of ether. Well, the ether physicist of the time, same gentleman that was in the debate, went back to his laboratory, did the exact same experiments, and proved the existence of ether. But the physics community was in such an uproar that Einsteinian physics was eventually adopted. 20 years later, Morley comes back after all of everything's died down and says, "I'm really sorry. I realized we did the experiment wrong. Ether does exist, but by that time, Einstein physics was firmly entrenched that we have gone basically backwards for the last 100 years." So that's a basic rundown of ether physics versus Einsteinian physics. I guess the best way is to put it is that ether physics is subtle, and Einsteinian physics is brute force and powerful. Ether physics says that we can create energy out of matter, not with huge cyclotrons we can create matter out of energy, not with huge cyclotrons and brute force energy like they talk about in the Cosmos series and different forms as that, but actually very subtly by putting the right amount of energy that's been patterned in the right way and put it into place, and look, we've got matter. We can create something here. Same thing with manipulation of time and energy. We're starting to see a lot of the principles of ether physics come back with quantum physics, some of them are coming back. For instance, when you create a circuit and you have a little battery there, you have a 9-volt battery and you have a wire going up to the light bulb and a wire coming back from the light bulb to the battery, and when you connect them all together, the light bulb glows. Einsteinian physics says that we are pushing the electrons from one side of that battery through the wire, through the light bulb, and creating light, and they finish their flow and end at the other terminal. Well, etheric physics says that that's absolutely ludicrous. Have you ever tried to push a helium-filled balloon? How far does it go? Well, an electron or a photon is infinitely lighter than this, so the possibility of the ability to push an electron through a wire is absolutely crazy. What ether physics and also quantum physics is now coming to realize is that we're not pushing or pulling anything. What we are in fact doing is we create an environment that allows energy, etheric energy that surrounds us, to collapse into a specific form and structure. And that form and structure takes the place of electricity flowing through the wire and the light emitted by the light bulb. So when you start looking at things like that, we're no longer, you know, pushing and shoving and brutalizing the energy around us. Suddenly we have the ability to we start to take on the role of gently manipulating the energy to send it where we want it to go. And so this is very key in changing our paradigm, changing both the paradigm of our civilization and of our science, as we realize that, so we can create an environment that electricity flows in this place. Well, is there another way to create an environment to create electricity? Is there another way to create an environment that allows ether to condense into energy? And as soon as people started thinking that way, well, some amazing things started happening. We started realizing that we can use geometrical shapes to create energy. We can use plasma to create energy. We can use light in completely radically different ways to create energy, because we're not forcing things to happen. We just need to find the right environment to allow it to happen. And that's really important to change the paradigm of how we operate in this world. And I think that it's a good thing for us that we're doing this now. Are we still good?
We are good.
All right.
And I'm enjoying listening to you. So we've got about 7 more minutes to go on the show. So I just want to be quiet. If you've got anything
more
to say,
have at it. Anything that lead me here. Do you have a question or anything you want to address?
The things I want to ask you, I don't want to ask you on
okay.
air.
All right. Gotcha. All right. So let's go back into excuse me. Well, let's go back into how energy can move. So once we start to realize that energy, that the ether condenses into everything that we experience, then we start to realize that we ourselves shape and pattern the energy around us, because ether is our life force. Ether is what we move through and what gives us our living vitality. And so if we can find different environments that we can be in to encourage the flow of ether in us, then we have more life force and vitality. And there's several different ways to do that, all of them very subtle, very and very dynamic. And the ancients and anciently people have talked about this. We can call it chi. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone. There's prana. There's different names for it, but all of these are descriptions of the same type of energy just flowing different ways. And so a practitioner of Kung Fu is going to cultivate qi and going to build up their life force through different exercises that create an environment that allow energy to flow to them. And a practitioner of the Kundalini exercises is going to build up life force in another way. So all of these become actual scientific ways that we can energize and increase the life force in our body. So as we manifest in our body, we can start to manifest in physical reality. What is our paradigm that allows us to work with energy? See, I've actually seen in the last 5 years, I've seen 10 free energy devices, okay, and worked with a couple of them, and invariably, these devices are not put down, they are not suppressed, they are suppressed by consciousness, okay? They are not allowed into the physical world, or in general, at large, simply because people, it is so far out of people's understanding, it's so far out of their acceptable pattern of behavior that they don't allow it to manifest. And I started asking myself, why is that? And what I came to realize is that we are ruled, we and our reality are ruled not by our thoughts so much, but by our emotional mindset and how we interact with the world. So if we are interacting in fear or anger, we will always find an energy to manifest in our world that we can be afraid of or angry over. And look at what we have. We burn oil-based hydrocarbons. We are afraid of emissions. We are afraid of the nuclear power. We are afraid of our very energy that we use to live. And as long as people are ruled by greed and avarice, we will manifest systems of power that allow us to be greedy and control other things. So in order for us to adopt new free energy, it's less of a matter of developing it, because people have been developing it for the last 100+ years. The reality is it's a matter of us actually raising our consciousness level to the point that we can accept it into our reality. And that means we have to move out of fear, we have to move out of anger, we have to move out of certain types of greed and control, and we move into a level of we need to move to a level of courage and joy and acceptance, and then we're going to start to find energies and manifest them in our reality that resonate with that level of existence. So when I talk about paradigm shifts, when I talk about moving into a new paradigm, a new a way of being, this is really what I'm talking about. None of my lecture is about fear or anger. So many people are saying, well, we need to crush the oil companies, or we need to crush the economic system. No, we don't need to do these things. We need to raise our emotional level to the point where we can accept something that is outside of the current norm. And that's what's really important. That's the other reason why I present at the conferences and why I teach the way I do, is because I feel it's so important that we find a new paradigm of existence. So that's what I'm about, and that's why I keep on doing the technology the way I do.
Just one quick thing. I think it's kind of unfortunate that the term dark matter was used, because it really is more of a light matter. I think they use dark because they can't see it, and it's also a problem for a lot of people that are so visual to have faith in something they can't see. And this is really, to some extent, a matter of faith, because unless they've actually experienced it, like we've seen in some of the experiments here. But
absolutely. I do work with dark matter a lot, and I don't call it dark matter. It is the better way to think about it is matter that hasn't completely finished its progression in our physical reality. It's got one leg in the etheric world, or even two legs in the etheric world, and one leg in our physical reality. And that's actually what the alchemists work with, and the new field of Hormus. And I feel it's very important to marry these subjects and bring them all into the energy research and scientific world.
So. Vernon, we are out of time,
okay.
And I am so thankful that you came by and joined us tonight. And you're certainly welcome to join us back on Walls in Our Mind anytime, and I hope to get you back on. And
all right,
good night, everybody.